for our first case have not arrived, so we will begin with Columbia Asset Recovery Group versus Joseph Kelly. Counsel ready?
Yes, Your Honor. Scott Henry representing Columbia Asset Recovery Group. Your Honors, the central contention...
You wish to reserve any time, Counsel?
I would like to reserve about half of my time at least, Your Honor.
Half your time?
Yes.
So 5 minutes?
Yes. Thank you. The central contention of the estate's argument is that the satisfaction of a guarantee extinguishes the underlying primary obligation. This, Your Honors, is manifestly an incorrect statement of the law. The debt is not extinguished when a guarantor covers the debt. Instead, the guarantor is subrogated to the creditor's rights and steps into the creditor's shoes. That's been the law in Washington since the 20s. And was reaffirmed in the National Bank case in 1976 by the Washington State Supreme Court. Now, the result is no different if the guarantor accomplishes the same end by creating an LLC to acquire the debt by an assignment. The assignee still steps into the shoes of the creditor. The estate fails to cite a single authority to the contrary. Instead, it relies on outdated law applicable at best to joint debtors, not to guarantors. In that regard, the current law, even with joint debtors, is that the obligation is not extinguished unless that's what the parties intended. Here, all of the evidence unequivocally shows that the parties intended to preserve the estate's liability. The parties.
Does it matter whether all the evidence unequivocally shows that?
I don't think it does. I think as a matter of law.
Well, is it a matter of law? You seem to claim it is. Or is it a matter of fact? Is the intention of the parties in contracting a factual matter?
In this particular case.
I'm not asking in this particular case. I'm asking, is it a factual matter?
I would say that the party's intent would be a factual matter.
Okay, so if it's a
in this case,
matter,
it's an undisputed fact.
I don't think it's undisputed. They've certainly put out some things that say that what was intended was disputed, including the words of your client, where he talks about satisfying a debt and people responding to him in terms of him satisfying the guarantee. I understand that you brief it as if it is
okay.
Undisputed. But my question is, if it is disputed, what is the result?
If it is disputed, the result is the same. If my client, Mr. Kennedy, who technically is not a party, Carg is the party in this particular instance, but the argument is that Mr. Kennedy and Carg are alter egos of each other. If he intended to satisfy the guarantee,
if you acquired the debt, if your client acquired the debt,
yes.
Then interest would still be accruing thereon.
Yes, right? It would.
Okay. So it matters in terms of how we resolve this, in terms of how things would proceed, in terms of the, if you were to prevail with the ultimate amount of the judgment.
Your Honor, if the intent was to satisfy the guarantee, then the guarantor would step into the creditor's shoes and the interest would still continue to accrue. The problem is that the guarantee and the underlying debt are separate obligations.
I don't know that I accept that.
You don't.
That premise. I mean, it's pretty loose use of stepping into the creditor's shoes. What you get is you paid a sum of money and they owe you the sum of money. And then, Mike, I guess, is it a measure of that damage that you would get what degree of interest? Why would it be the
same
interest?
Well, in the National Bank case, the terms the Supreme Court used was that the guarantor, upon satisfaction of the guarantee, steps into the shoes of the creditor. If you're to step into the shoes of the creditor, presumably that means you have the creditor's rights, including the creditor's rights to the collateral, including the creditor's rights to the jurisdictional provisions, including the creditor's rights
Hold on. We know that one of the reasons for setting up CARG was to acquire the agreement, not just the debt. And your paperwork was clear that you wanted to acquire the agreement that accompanied the debt. And part of the tactic behind that was to obtain the waivers of jurisdiction or venue, or the agreement to jurisdiction or venue that were in the in the agreement.
And to more clearly preserve the security interests as well.
Are you asserting that if there had been no agreement, just the debt, but somehow the lawsuit could be brought in King County, that you would necessarily be entitled to proceed in King County?
Well, you and I might differ, I suppose, on what it means to step into the shoes of the creditor. But in this particular case, what did happen, actually, is that there was a transaction. There was an assignment of the entire obligation. And
no,
the argument relative to the guarantee.
In answering the question that you posed to us, we always have to worry about the next person posing the similar but not quite the same question, which is the reason behind my inquiries.
I see.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I am Andrew Escobar with DLA Piper on behalf of the respondent, the estate of William D. Phillips. Mr. Henry's comments focused on the appeal itself, but I do note that we did file a motion to dismiss for mootness. I wanted to know if the panel had any questions about that motion or if it would prefer me to focus on
why would this be moot if we can send it back for trial?
It's moot because, and this is where we run into a similar issue posed by the appeal itself.
Are you contending that we cannot send this back for trial, that we're powerless to do that? Be careful what you ask for.
Well, what I would...
If we can send it back for trial, it's not moot, right? So you're standing there telling us we can't possibly send this case back for trial?
Well, we believe, Your Honor, that the appeal... The appeal on the merits is moot, and therefore that the trial court's judgment should stand, and it should not be sent back for trial, in part based on the representation of Columbia Asset Recovery and its attorneys to Judge Messett of the Federal District Court in Washington.
Well, go get that judge to decide whether or not they misled him.
And he very well may.
And if he did, he can impose whatever sanction for that he wants.
And
I don't see how that has any impact on whether or not we have the authority to send this case back for trial.
Okay, Your Honor. Well, I can focus my comments instead on the appeal at hand. And I have some prepared remarks, but I would like to address initially the question of subrogation and national bank case that Mr. Henry cited. The key notion there is that subrogation and all the authorities cited by the appellant, you know, make it clear that subrogation is an equitable theory. And if the trial court's finding and holding is correct and that the case was, in fact, dismissed.
Well, we don't have findings.
Well, and that is a fair point, Your Honor. We don't have any explicit findings in there. I think...
You want us to intuit findings?
I believe, given the two theories that we advanced to the trial court, both implicated an alter ego theory. And I believe it's implicit in there. I wouldn't ask the court to speculate as to what the court's findings were, but I do believe it is quite implicit from the trial court's finding, or trial court's ruling, that there was a finding of alter ego.
Ruling or the order?
I'm sorry, the order, Your Honor. That the Columbia Asset and Mr. Kennedy are alter egos for purposes of the transaction in question. And it really does turn on that intent issue, as revealed by the...
Well, why isn't there a question of fact about alter ego?
I believe there was a factual... alter ego would have involved a factual determination by the court, Your Honor.
It typically does.
I agree with that. And that was part of the focus of the party's briefing, was the intent. And what were the... what was the intent of Mr. Kennedy when he set up Columbia Asset as a vehicle to satisfy his guarantee, as he represented to Judge Peckman.
And there's no evidence that his intent was to purchase the debt in order to bring the claim in King County? There's no evidence of that, right?
Well, no, there is evidence in the agreement.
Well, if there is evidence of that, isn't it a disputed question of fact?
Well, it is a disputed question of fact, Your Honor.
So how can it be resolved without an evidentiary determination? Doesn't that have to go to trial?
Well, I think it can be resolved because it was raised pursuant to 12b-2, which is a jurisdictional.
Well, I understand that, but how do you resolve? How does a judge resolve questions of fact without resolving the questions of fact? That's what happened here.
Well, implicitly in the order, yes, well, Your Honor.
Implicitly, explicitly, by Ouija board, does it matter? I mean, if there are disputed questions of fact, a judge has got to look at somebody and say, I believe you and I don't believe you. And that doesn't happen here.
Well, I believe it, you know, again, because the motion was brought pursuant to Rule 12b-2, I mean, there's, you can present evidence to the court outside of the pleadings. I mean, we do this often when
you can do that on summary judgment, too. That doesn't mean that trial judges make findings of fact on summary judgment. What happened here was an application of the summary judgment standard, right? Parties submitted briefing. Trial court didn't tell anybody who they believed or who she didn't believe. Entered an order. We take that there's only one way to view the facts in order to support the judge's order. If there's two ways to view the facts, the judge's order isn't supportable, right? Just like summary judgment.
Well, if the facts are undisputed or there's no material issue of fact, if we were to apply the summary judgment standard, Your Honor, and we would, while the facts were disputed, we don't believe that it could be a material dispute. If you look at the very statements by Mr. Kennedy himself under oath to Judge Peckman, for example, about what the purpose of what he in fact accomplished.
Don't his actions in and of themselves raise the first question as to what his intent was in engaging this? If he just simply wanted to pay the debt, he would have written a check and paid the debt. Well, the fact that he set up a company in order to buy the agreement and then pursuant to that agreement, filed suit in King County. Don't all of those inferences give rise to a resolution of the fact or a potential resolution of the fact that his intent was to bring the lawsuit in King County, and his way to do that was to purchase the debt rather than satisfy it?
Well, Your Honor, when jurisdiction, personal jurisdiction is challenged, it's incumbent upon the plaintiff to carry the burden of proof.
That's when there is a resolution of the facts. So when this goes back for trial, he'll certainly have that burden.
Well, and that creates a little bit
but
of
it's
chicken
a burden
and egg.
Of, it's a burden of production at the outset. If there's not going to be a factual finding, if you wanted to try and arrange for the judge to have a factual finding short of trial, I suppose you can do that.
Well, and perhaps maybe that's and I get your point, Your Honor, and I think if the court finds issue with the nature of the trial court's kind of bare bones dismissal order, I guess one remedy that is available here is to send it back then to the trial court and ask trial court to include findings of fact and reissue its order. So this way, if an appeal is brought, then we actually know the specific grounds explicitly.
Well, wasn't it your responsibility to perfect your record so when you came here, you could be right and we could affirm you? Isn't that part of your responsibility in the trial court to make sure that you've got the findings that you need?
Well, the procedure
takes place that you need to take place.
Your Honor, the proposed order that was presented was one that went with our dismissal motion at the conclusion of oral argument.
Well, so then you suggested to the judge that you should sign the order without making findings of fact. That may not have been propitious.
We believe that we had adequate grounds at that point, but your point, I understand your point, Your Honor, with that. I mean, part of the issue here is that, you know, we have this appeal pending in the, or not appeal, but the case pending in federal court where next week these very issues will be decided. Judge Messett's going to look at the parties have briefed cross motions for summary judgment on this very issue, which is whether the debt was discharged or whether it was in fact assigned. And that goes back, and I hate to raise it again, but that goes back in part. I know it doesn't make it purely moot.
Motions for summary judgment in the Eastern District, you guys still haven't learned.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Cross motions for summary judgment in the Eastern District of Maryland?
No, in the District of Maryland.
Okay, so you're gonna do the same thing. You're going to ask yet another judge to resolve the party's intent without making factual findings.
I believe the parties... again, the court can make factual findings, I believe, as long as the disputed facts are not material.
And the intent is not material?
Well, the intent is material, but if the underlying facts are not, if there's no material dispute as to the underlying facts, the facts are the statements that were made by Mr. Kennedy in connection with his action with Judge Becker.
Only if they lead one way, right?
Or if they lean so far one way that the dispute could not be a material dispute. Does the court have any other questions about the appeal itself, in particular the application of home indemnity or the other theory that we posited?
No.
Okay. Well, then that's all I have, Your Honors.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Your Honor, Scott Henry. For Columbia Asset Recovery. I'm not sure, Your Honors, I really have much more to add. I think you've done an excellent job. Obviously, you're very prepared. Only this court can correct the manifest errors of the Superior Court's decision. We ask that you reverse the decision and that CARD be awarded its attorney fees. If you have any further questions.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.